Well, today I want to preach a message, and this may end up being several parts. So we may have several parts to this because God's just challenging me in Scripture with this. So we may have several parts with it. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you as we go through these parts. But I'd like to talk to us about being a faithful steward of our treasure. Being a faithful steward of our treasure. So we're faithful in the stewardship of our time and then our talent and then our testimony, but we want to be a faithful steward when it comes to our treasure as well. So as long as the Lord puts these ideas on my heart and is showing me passages of Scripture with this thought in mind, I'd like us to talk about being a faithful steward when it comes to our treasure or our financial stewardship. Financial stewardship. Here's the thought that I want to start off with this morning, because I don't want us to immediately, right from the very start, say, well, I'm dismissing this. Because I don't like when a church or a pastor starts to bring up the thoughts about finances and money. Here's the thought that I want to share with you from the very start of this message. We as individuals have to. It's just something we're forced to do. We have to focus on our finances. We have to have some time in which we focus on our money. We have to have times in which we're talking about money or talking about finances. We have to have times in which we are thinking, our thoughts and our focus and our mind is on our money and our finances. And there even has to be times in which we're planning when it comes to our money or our finances. Maybe it be the subject of a budget and saying, hey, I got a budget laid out. I'm trying to plan when it comes to our money. But here's the thing. For some reason, when it's brought up in church or when the pastor starts talking about it, it fails to become our favorite subject. Man, we'll talk about it. We'll focus on it. We'll think about it. We've got to plan it. But for some odd reason, many times when it gets brought up in church or when a pastor starts talking about it, oh, here he goes talking about money again. He's always on that subject. Well, first of all, we're not always on that subject. For those that might be visiting with us or not usually here with us in our service, this is not a subject we deal with every Sunday or even really very often at all. But the challenge is this. The Bible has a lot to say about finances. And so Bible principles can be gained when we think about being a faithful steward of our treasure or this subject of finances. Finances really ends up being one of the most significant areas of our life. We had an opportunity, a few of us, to go to a marriage conference the last 2 days. So we were there on Friday. Some folks from our church, some married couples, went to this marriage conference that we had been talking about. We had been announcing at the Middletown Baptist Church in Middletown, Delaware. And we were there and we were encouraged. And he asked for us, right when we got there, he asked for us to look up a few Bible verses. And one of the Bible verses that he had us look up was the verse in 2 Corinthians. The Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And then he asked us as couples to talk with one another about what that means in light of a marriage. And one of the first things that my mind went to is that in the day that we live in today, and really any day, you're thinking about this to be true, one of the subjects that we would talk about where we would say we have to walk by faith is in our finances. And certainly that can be a way in which a marriage is affected, right? When it comes to the finances in a situation like that. And so we're walking by faith. We're trusting the Lord. So a very significant area of our lives is this thought about finances and financial decisions that are made. And by the way, when we think of financial decisions that are made, they impact our lives every single day. You think about financial decisions that are made that really impact our lives every single day. But the encouragement is this morning, that the Bible has much to say about finances. It has much to say about money. It has much to say about giving. It really is one of the central themes in all of Scripture. And you might be asking, you might be thinking in your seat there as you're listening to me say that, you say, how can you say that? How can you say that that money and giving and finances is one of the central themes of Scripture? Well, over 2,000 times in the Bible, the thought of money and the thought of possessions are mentioned. So over 2,000 times in Scripture, this idea of money or possessions that we might have is mentioned. When you narrow that down a little bit to the Gospels, so the Gospels are four. So we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four Gospels. So when you narrow the subject of money and possessions down to just the four Gospels, one out of every 10 verses in the Gospels deals with money and finances and possessions and giving. And so there is a central theme in Scripture when it comes to the finances. And so our relationship to money then, here's what it's teaching us. If we say that that is a central theme in Scripture, then what are we learning here this morning? That our relationship to money would then have a major impact, a significant impact upon our spiritual well-being. How we handle our finances, how we handle our money, how we handle our possessions. If we are a wise steward or a foolish steward of the possessions and the money that God has given to us. And so it's very important for us to have a biblical understanding of how to please God in our financial stewardship. So we want to please the Lord, right? We want to be always abounding when it comes to our time and our talent and our testimony, but our treasure as well. And the way that we're going to do that is we've got to figure out what the Bible says about it. The Bible's going to give us some understanding. The Bible's going to give us some principles about that. So we've got to have this biblical understanding of how to please God in our financial stewardship. And you might ask the question, well, why is that true? Why do I have to have a biblical understanding of this? Because few things in life can create more stress than money and really the mismanaging of money. And we can get to the place where we live a very stressful life and a worried life if we're not looking at Bible principles and understanding what the Bible has to say about finances. So here's what we need to let God. We need to let Bible principles help us manage our money. Now there's in our world today, there are individuals that we would say these are financial planners or financial advisors that we can go to. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Financial planners, financial advisors, that. But here's the idea. There is no better financial planner that you will ever meet than the Lord. He's going to be able to be the financial planner that will help you if you will focus on the Word of God and the principles that God has laid out for us in Scripture. And so there's three statements that I want to make as we're kind of, again, introduction, kind of a springboard into what we're going to see here in James chapter number 1. Three statements that I want to make right from the very start that I hope will help us with this thought of being a faithful steward of the treasure that God has given to us. And statement number 1 is this. Just as in every area of the Christian life, if you're a Christian in here today, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. And again, I'm not making that statement to make an assumption that everybody is. I don't know the hearts of folks. But if you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're on your way to heaven today, just like in every other area of your life as a Christian, our desire should be to bring honor and glory to the Lord when it comes to our giving and when it comes to our finances. Just like every other area of our life, we would say, I want my life to bring honor and glory to the Lord in this area. And as a Christian, I want my life to bring honor and glory to the Lord in this area. Well, if all of these areas we want to bring honor and glory to the Lord, then we would say the same about our finances and the same about our giving. Here's statement number 2. Again, all of introduction to try to help us to get to a point where we're going to start here in James 1. The second statement is this. The greatest example of a giver that we will ever have is God. He is the greatest example. And isn't it amazing how that we can point to God and our Savior, God's Son, Jesus Christ, as examples, time and time again in Scripture, they give to us the greatest example, don't they? So the greatest example that we will ever have in the Word of God is God. Can I say this? We serve. If you're a Christian here today and you're serving God, you are serving a God who is a giving God. He is a God who is a giver. Think about what Jesus, what God gave to us. He gave us His own Son, didn't He? For God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't just say He loved us. He proved it by giving His Son, didn't He? So God so loved the world that He gave. He is a giving God, isn't He? He gave to us His Son. And then, by the way, His Son gave to us His life, didn't He? When He died on the cross for us. And then here's a God who gives to us grace. And He gives to us mercy. And he gives to us forgiveness. He gives to us love. And he promised to those that are Christians a home in heaven. And you know as well as I do, that list could go on and on and on and on. We'd have to say, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that God does to show that he is a God who loves us and a God who is a giver. So, number one, we ought to bring honor and glory to the Lord in our finances and our giving. And number two, God is the greatest example of love. But statement number three this morning is this. And we have to grasp this before we grasp anything else when it comes to our finances or our giving or our faithfulness in our stewardship. God, we've got to grasp this now this morning. God does not need your money. You've got to get that. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He does not need your money. But I'll make a statement after that. He does expect your obedience though. See, he doesn't need your money. He can finance his church without our money. We don't have to give to God because he doesn't need it. But he does expect his people to give in obedience. And then also, I'll make another statement to say this. Not only does he expect your obedience, but he also promises great rewards if you will obey. So the idea on God's half is, I expect you to obey. The idea on our half is, God's going to give great rewards because I am willing to give. Not giving based on that thought that I've got blessings coming to me, but saying I'm giving out of a right heart, knowing that God promises there will be rewards that will come. And then, by the way, we'll also make a statement here and say this. He has reasons why he has commanded us to give. So he's commanded us to give and he expects our obedience, but he has reasons why he's commanded us to give. We'll get to those later on in the message, or at least one part of these messages that we're going to preach about. But I just wanted to give you that thought. He doesn't need our money, but he does expect us to obey. And there's reasons why he has commanded for us to obey when it comes to this subject of finances. So I want to give you, I want to start this morning with some biblical financial principles. And we're going to just take the Word of God. We're going to dive into the Word of God. And that's why I say keep your Bible near you there, because there'll be some verses that we'll look up here this morning. And then in these messages to come, we'll be. And so some financial, biblical principles. And the first one is one word this morning. Just one word. The word that I want you to get this morning is this, the word ownership. The word ownership. One of the greatest biblical financial principles you will ever be introduced to is this idea of ownership. The fact that God owns everything. He has provided to us everything that we have. Oh, happy day in my life. When I came to the place where I realized I don't own anything, God owns it all. He has just provided it for me, or he has given it to me so that I can be a wise steward of that which he has blessed me with. So I don't own anything. The ownership is found in God. He's provided everything for me. All that I have comes from his hand. This is where we get to James chapter 1. If you're there in your Bible, James chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So what's the Bible saying there? The Bible's saying that every good and every perfect gift is from above. So it comes from God. It comes from the hand of Almighty God. So there's a couple truths here to remember then. If we understand that God owns it all, then there's a couple truths that we have to remember. And in just a minute, we're going to go to a parable. Now, parables are found in the Gospels, and these parables are in the Word of God in such a way where they teach us an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. And we're going to look at a parable in just a moment. And this parable that we're going to look at speaks to the truths that I'm going to give you. Four truths that I want you to remember about ownership. The fact that God owns everything, he's provided it for us, but it comes from his hand. The first thought is this, and it goes along with what I've already said, but the first thought is this, he is the owner of all. Now you say, wait a minute, you already said that a moment ago, but it's going to go with our parable. So listen carefully. He is the owner of all. The Bible says this in Psalm 24, and I'll take the time to look there. Maybe you'd like to get there in Scripture and look yourself there, but Proverbs 24 in verse number 1, the Bible says this, the earth is the Lord's. All right, so who does the earth belong to? It belongs to the Lord, right? He is the owner of all. And watch this, and the fullness thereof. So the fullness of everything that's belongs to God. And notice this, the world and they that dwell therein. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? Earth is the Lord's, the fullness of the earth thereof. And then he says, and then the world and those that dwell therein. So he is the owner of all of it, isn't he? So we would say this about every possession that we have. Because remember, it talks about possessions. It talks about faithful gift. Here's what we would say about the possessions that God has given to us. They are not ours to begin with, are they? Because he is the owner of all of it. And then can I say this? He, as owner, he is the source of everything we have as well. There's a reason why I bring that up, because many people will say this, well, why do I have to give back to God? Because the scripture teaches us to give to God what he has given to us. And some would make the statement, well, I don't have to give back to God something he's given to me because he hasn't really given me anything anyway. I'm the one that has the strength to go down to work and do my task. I'm the one who has the energy to do that. I'm the one who has the ability to do that. Well, that's totally contrary to truth, isn't it? Because God is the one who's given us the mind to do the work. He's the one who's given us the energy and the strength to do the work. We cannot do it without him, can we? He is the source of everything that we have. Matter of fact, let's notice it in Scripture. I'm going to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I want you to look down, if you're taking the time to look there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm going to look down to verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18. It says this, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." All right, so there's anybody who holds up their paycheck and says, I was able to accomplish this. I was able to get all of this. It's contrary to the truth of Scripture, isn't it? Because God said, he is the one that has given you the power to get wealth. He's the one that gave you the brain to help you to do the job that you're doing. He's the one that gave you the energy and the strength and the health to complete the task that you're doing on a daily basis at your work that gives you that paycheck. So he's... Notice what it says at the end of the verse. "That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Now, would you take your Bible there and turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, this is a very significant passage of Scripture, because it's about the time in which they were trying to gather up needs and supplies to be able to get the work of the temple done. We want to get the work of the temple done. So we're asking people to give so that we can supply the needs for the temple. Well, notice what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we're going to start in verse number 11. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 11, it says this, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is whose? Is thine." God's saying it all belongs to him. It all comes from his hand. He is the source of all that we have. Look down again at verse number 11. "Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Not some, above all, right? Now look at what it says in verse 12. "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over" how much? "All," he says. "And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto" how many? "Unto all." Verse number 13, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things," here's the key, "all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." What's the challenge there? He's saying, God, we're only giving back to you what you have already given to us. It's the idea of saying, God, you give us this gift, and we're going to give part of it back to you. God enables us to keep much of it for ourselves, doesn't he? To meet our needs. But it's the idea of the fact that God is the source of all of it. His hand is the reason why we have what we have. He is the source of all that we have. So we're just taking what has already been given to us by God and giving it back to him. Now, here's the second thought I want you to notice. It's going to lead up to this parable that we're going to be able to finish our message this morning with. The first thought was this: he is the owner of all. But the second thought is this, and by the way, the statement that went in connection with that is that he is the source of all that we have. So he is the owner of all, and everything that we have has been given to us by him. He's the source of all of it. But the second statement is this. According to the Word of God, according to Scripture now, I'm not making these principles up. These are biblical principles now. Not only is He the owner of all, but number two, we are to be wise stewards of the gifts and the blessings He has given to us. See, we are not the owner. We are just the manager. God says you're to take the things that I have given to you and you are to be a wise steward with what you have been blessed with. You're not the owner of it. You're been given to you and you're to be wise with it because you don't own it. You're just managing it. The idea there in Scripture. And then the third principle is this. So not only does He own it all and that we are to be wise stewards of it, but here's the thought, and we're going to see it in the parable. Thought number three is that one day we're going to give an account. One day we're going to give an account. So when it comes to this subject of being a faithful steward, God's letting us know this. One day you're going to be accountable for this. One day you're going to be accountable for the way that you were a steward. Just of our treasure, talking about this specifically right now, but of our time, our talents, our testimony, and then our treasure, what He has given to us. We're going to be accountable for that one day. And so then we get to the fourth thought, and then we're going to look at the parable for a moment. The fourth thought is this, as wise stewards, if we will be faithful, God says blessings can be received. Blessings can be given. So take the time, if you would, to look at this parable for just a moment with me in Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter 19, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 12. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 12. Let's take time to read through some of the verses in this parable quickly here. This is a parable about a nobleman and some servants that this nobleman had. And when we read this parable, the characters that are found in this parable and the story, the earthly story of this parable that has a heavenly meaning, is going to point us to the four truths that we just went over. Everything. Starting in verse number, it says, He said, therefore. Now, this is Jesus speaking, the words in your Bible. If you have a red letter, it'll be red. These are Jesus speaking these words. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, first of all, we've got the character of the nobleman that's found in verse number 12. Well, who is the nobleman a picture of? Well, the nobleman in this parable is a picture of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ pictures the nobleman in verse number 12. Now look with me, if you would, at verse number 13. And he called his 10 servants. So this nobleman had 10 servants. He calls every one of them and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, notice these words, occupy till I come. Now we'll pause in verse 13 to identify the second character here. We've got a character of a servant. So we've got the nobleman, that's Jesus Christ. Then we've got a servant, and that servant represents you and I as Christians. But I'll go a step further and say this. Again, I'm not assuming that everyone's a Christian. But if you are a Christian here, this is who he's talking to. He's saying these servants are Christians. But I'll go a step further and say this. It's not just identifying or picturing a Christian. It's picturing what a Christian ought to be. And what ought a Christian be? A Christian is to be a steward, right? We're to be a steward of the things that we have. So it's a picture of a Christian. It's a picture of a steward as well. Now then, go on in verse number 13 and notice at the end of the verse, he says this. He made this statement to them, occupy till I come. So what is Jesus as the nobleman asking the servants who are Christians or stewards to do? He's saying, I want you to be a wise steward with what I am going to give to you. Now notice in verse number 13 that the Bible says he delivers to them 10 pounds. Now the pounds in Scripture there is represented as an amount of money. So we've got an amount of money that this nobleman or Jesus gives to the servants or the Christians or the stewards that are pictured in this passage. Now that amount of money that's represented there as a pound in verse number 13 would be equal to several days' wages. So we've got several days' wages of money that is handed to these servants. All right, now let's go on. Verse number 14. And sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom. Remember in verse number 12, he's going on to a far country to receive himself a kingdom. So the Bible tells us now he's returned. He's received this kingdom. Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him. that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, verse 26, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now here's the idea. 4 Bible statements or principles that we gave you that we see in this parable. Number one, God is the owner of all. Now in this passage we had a nobleman. That nobleman was a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was this nobleman the owner of it all? Yes. He called in his servants, but he was an owner of everything. The power was in his hand to give out these pounds because he was the owner of it. And then when he gave it to them, expected to be wise stewards of it, correct? We're seeing that in the passage, right? They were to be wise stewards of that which they had been entrusted with. He makes that statement, occupy till I come. Be faithful with what you have been given until I return. Now the third thought is this. One day, we are going to have to give an account. Now here's the Bible parable here. We've got servants that were given money by the nobleman who owned it all. He expected them to be wise stewards of it. And then the Bible tells in verse number 15 that he returned, didn't he? And when he returned, we could word it this way, there was a reckoning that was about to take place. You're going to stand before the nobleman, picturing Jesus Christ as a servant of his, as a Christian, as a steward, and you're going to have to give an account of the way that you had used your money, or you had used the talents or the pounds that had been given to you. And then we said one last statement. And here's what we draw all this together to help us to understand the word that we wanted to establish this morning. Ownership. The fact that God owns it all. We're to be wise stewards. One day we're going to have to give an account. And if we were wise with it, what does he say? He says he is going to give out rewards. He's going to give out blessings. And so we read that in the passage of Scripture. These servants were brought before him. And the first servant says, I've gained 10 pounds. He said, well, you've been a good servant. You not only have been a good servant, you've been a faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful in that which was given that was little to you. And he says, now I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. He multiplied the authority that he had now over these 10 cities because he took those pounds that were given to him and he multiplied them. He was a wise steward of that which had been given to him. And when he was taken account of it, the Bible says that God says, because you've been wise, because you've been faithful in that which is little, I'm going to be able to reward you in a great way. Now, a little bit later on in this message, in this series of messages that we're going to talk about, the idea of being faithful as stewards of the treasure that God has given to us, being faithful in our financial stewardship, we're going to talk about the blessings that lie ahead for those that are faithful in their finances and in their giving to the Lord. So here's the principles that we have learned from this parable. We do not have the right to take what God has blessed us with and make the final decision on it. I hope you'll get that this morning. Because he is the owner of all of it, we don't have the right to say, God, I control money. I control my finances. I control my possessions, and I I get to have the final say. That's not how it works. I think Bible principles teach us that that's not how it works. God gets the final say, doesn't he? He's the one that has the final authority when it comes to the decisions that we make with our finances and our money and our possessions. So we are entrusted then with what he already owns. And because he already owns it, we have to be faithful stewards with it. And the idea is that he's going to return one day. And when he returns, we're going to have to give an account of how we manage the things that he entrusted us with. If we've managed it wisely, the Bible says blessings will await us. Now, here's the thought that we have to get about. But I'll just say a statement that I hope will be a help to you this morning. The blessings that God is talking about in Scripture when it comes to our money and our finances and our possessions, the blessings that God is talking about are not just eternal blessings. Oh, you've got to get that this morning. It's not just saying, well, you're saying I got to wait till I get to heaven to be able to have these blessings and these rewards, goodness that God wants to show me. No, that is something that awaits us, something we get to look forward to, the blessings that await us in heaven. But God wants to give us blessings now as well. And I think if any period of time in your life, if you have ever been faithful as far as in financial stewardship in your life, because I know I'm speaking to people that have been faithful in that. If you've been faithful at any time in your Christian life when it comes to faithful stewardship, you would be able to give a testimony. You'd be able to line up behind the pulpit here if we took time for that, and you'd be able to give a testimony of the fact that God told me he would bless me. And I'm here to give testimony of the fact that he blessed me. He kept his word because I obeyed him and I was faithful to him. And so the idea this morning is this, when it comes to this subject of being faithful with our financial stewardship, is that God is the owner of it all. He gives to us these gifts. And then he says, I'm giving you these with my hands. Everything that you have is from the hand of God. It's been given to you from him. You are to be a wise steward of that which God owns and he's expecting you to manage. And then I'm letting you know, because I own it and I want you to manage it the right way, you're going to have to give an account at some point. And God says there's either going to be rewards or there's going to be a loss of rewards. There's going to either be blessings both now and in eternity, or there's going to be a loss of blessings. I'll say this, and I'm going to say it throughout the course of this little series that we'll do here on financial stewardship. One way or another, and I don't want this statement to sound like a very harsh statement, but I think it lines up with the Bible. One way or the other, for a Christian, God will get what he expects you to give to him. One way or the other. It's either you're going to give it to him cheerfully, and he's going to be able to bless you with it, or he'll find a way for those rewards and that blessing that he wants to give you. You'll suffer loss for that. So which way do we want to look at God's ownership today? He owns it all, doesn't he? And then we're to be wise stewards of it. May God encourage our hearts. But I'll say this at the very end. We started off with a verse this morning. And that verse was found in James chapter 1 and verse number 17. And the Bible says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, the Bible says there in James chapter 1 and verse number 17. Every good and perfect gift. And when we speak of financial blessings that God gives to us and gifts that he gives to every one of us, we would fail this morning if we overlooked the greatest gift. See, the greatest gift that the Bible tells us about in the book of Romans. And the Bible says in Romans 6 and verse number 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest gift we could ever possession of some sort, not some type of a money gift that's been given to us, or a gift card, or a Christmas present, or a birthday present that somebody's given to us. It's the gift of eternal life. And there might be somebody here today that would say, I've never received that gift. Just because Jesus died doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven, but those who receive the gift have the promise of heaven. And if there's never been a time where you've called out to the Lord and you've asked him to be your Savior, that's the greatest gift that you could ever receive. That's the gift he wants to give you today. But then, as owner of all of it, he has many other gifts that he wants to give us as well. And then as he gives us those gifts, he wants us to be wise stewards of that. for His honor and His glory, knowing that we're going to have to give an account one day. And we want to give, we want to have God come and take account of what we've done and be able to receive the blessings and the rewards that God has for us as we faithfully take what God has financially given and be able to give it to the honor and the glory of the Lord and for the work of the Lord as well. Now, there's much more we're going to say because the Bible has a lot to say about financial stewardship. And so I hope you'll stay with me. I hope you'll be connected to these messages and these services. There's a whole lot more we're going to say. But the thought this morning, the fact that God owns it all. Let's be wise stewards and let's realize that we're going to give an account someday and let's do it so that we can have that reward. Father, I pray we are approaching now where we take what You spoken to our hearts about, and we try to apply it to our lives. Lord, the service time, the preaching of the Word of God is the opportunity we have to have God speak to us. But Lord, may we always look at the invitation as the opportunity we have now to speak to God.